Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Investors start to bet that the banking crisis of the last few days may have been contained. I'm David Brancaccio. No new banks have gone bust since the initial two, Silicon Valley and Signature, where in those two cases, all depositors have access to their money, even what had been uninsured deposits. President Biden says taxpayers will bear no losses for this rescue. So where's the money coming from? It's called the Deposit Insurance Fund. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes took a look.
Any bank insured by the FDIC has to pay quarterly premiums to the FDIC.
I guess it is life insurance. It's basically life insurance for a bank.
Dan Giedemann is an economics professor at Grand Valley State University. And just like with life insurance, if the bank is healthy.
But we'll charge them a much lower premium than if somebody maybe behaves recklessly.
Those premiums are the main source of revenue for the FDIC's Deposit Insurance Fund. At the end of 2022, it had over $128 billion in it. It's unclear at the moment how much paying the depositors of the failed banks will set the fund back, and existing banks are required by law to make up the difference. Anna Gelpern is a law and finance professor at Georgetown and a fellow at the Peterson Institute.
You know, when FDIC pays out, it has by statute a mandate to go back and have an extraordinary, you know, assessment on the living banks to recoup what it paid.
Gelpern points out those assessments became more comprehensive following the 2008 financial crisis, and the cost of them could trickle down to you and me and anyone who banks.
Is it going to cost you? Probably.
William Chittenden is a finance professor at Texas State University.
Either you would earn a little bit less on your deposit, or you might pay just a hair more on your loan.
Those costs are part of what Georgetown's Anna Gelpern says comes with the social compact of operating a banking system. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
If you want to sound swaggeringly in the know amid this banking crisis, pull out what's called the KBW Bank Index. It's a benchmark of 24 hand-picked bank stocks to gauge what investors are thinking of banks in general at any given time, especially useful this week, right? Well, the KBW Bank Index closed down 11.5% yesterday. But this morning, futures prices for some key regional banks, First Republic and others, are pointing up. That is the first whiff of a hint that investors are thinking the banking mess might have been contained. Yet do these medium-sized financial institutions need more oversight? Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
And more oversight, or perhaps better oversight, David. In the short term, the Federal Reserve Board has announced a review of how Silicon Valley Bank was supervised. The results in a couple of months. And we spoke with Catherine Judge of Columbia Law School. She focuses on financial regulation, and she told us that regulators did clearly miss warning signs.
There were a number of flags suggesting that Silicon Valley Bank may be in trouble, may be growing in ways that potentially pose threats, may be increasing its reliance on government-backed sources of funding.
And one of those sources, she says, was the Federal Home Loan Bank System. It's a lender banks often go to when they really need cash. And just yesterday, the system raised more than $88 billion by selling short-term bonds because it says it's seeing heightened demand from banks.
Meanwhile, Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts has an opinion piece in the New York Times putting the blame on a rollback in the rules that were put in after the last banking crisis. You saw that, Nova.
I did. And the rollback she was talking about was in 2018. Instead of needing $50 billion in assets, now a bank needed $250 billion before stricter regulations. And the question now is, what new rules, if any, are needed to make sure these banks are well managed, David?
All right, Nova, thank you. Markets, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up between 2 and 3/10%. The bond market surged yesterday, but interest rates are off their lows this morning. The 10-year is up slightly, 3.61%.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember during high COVID, people moving from cities out to the country caused home prices to surge out in the sticks? Well, that drove up home prices, which does increase the tax base. But in some places, including the state of Maine, when home prices rise in a particular town, the town is judged less needy and less money comes in from the state to pay for the local schools. Maine Public's Robbie Feinberg reports from the last piece of Atlantic coastline before the Canadian border.
The tiny town of Lubeck sits on the northern edge of Maine's jagged coastline along the Canadian border. Local school superintendent Kenneth Johnson says that despite the town's idyllic coastal setting, jobs and businesses are sparse.
Many, many years ago, 40 or 50 years ago, the town benefited from sardine canning plants, but those are long gone.
Like nearly every town in Maine, Lubeck relies on a mix of state and local funds to educate its roughly 120 students. But this year, Johnson says, that's going to be a lot harder. The median price for a home in Washington County, where Lubeck is located, has jumped by nearly 50% over the past 3 years. And Johnson says those higher prices are one factor leading to a projected loss of more than $100,000 in state funding for Lubeck schools, leaving a sizable budget hole.
It'll be a very, very strong challenge to try and maintain the level of service that they are accustomed to and avoid deep budget cuts.
Communities across southern and coastal Maine are wrestling with the same problem. Steve Bailey, the executive director of the Maine School Management Association, says that in general, Maine's school funding formula uses property values to determine the relative wealth of each community and how much state subsidy it receives. So when home prices skyrocket in a particular town, state funding drops.
That particular piece has given the impression, anyway, that towns are able to raise more money to be able to support education.
Bailey says it's all added up to less state funding for many districts at a time when inflation is only increasing the costs of heat, electricity, and teacher wages. In a statement, the Maine Department of Education says that Governor Janet Mills has already made historic investments in education funding. Mills is also pledging to add more than $100 million for local schools in her latest budget proposal. School leaders say they're thankful for the support, but some are now calling for the state to adjust its school funding formula and to find new ways of assessing the relative wealth and economic needs of Maine's communities. I'm Robbie Feinberg for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money.
Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.